Let me pray for us, and then we'll look into that final section of Colossians. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful morning. And we thank you so much for the opportunity of gathering here today. Father, thank you for the encouragement we receive through meeting together, through hearing your word read and taught and sung. Thank you for the encouragement we receive from one another as we spend time together and catch up and share and seek to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Father, we pray that you'd be with us now as we hear your word taught, that we would be encouraged from the things we hear and spurred on indeed to serve Christ faithfully. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, this is the final sermon in our Colossians series. I hope that you've been encouraged as we have learned more about Christ and his gospel from this letter. And not only how the gospel saves us for eternity, but how the gospel also transforms us in the present, that God is in the business of renewing us into the image of Christ, and how we've seen how that impacts who we are as people and how we relate both in private and in public, at church and in the world. Today's final sermon is from that passage that Richard just read, and we're going to be thinking about, there it is, Christian fellowship or gospel partnership, whichever way you want to look at it. And I have a nice little video to introduce this topic. Well, we've got some volume. We'll try again. Sound guys coming in. For those who don't know who we're looking at, it's the Galea family. Chris and Christy, going to test me on the names of the kids. Chris and Christy are preparing to go to Malta. And we have met them here once before. They visited us before they went off to St Andrew's College in Melbourne to train for their work. What a pity. Right now, they are in the midst of their deputation, which basically means they are visiting each of their support churches, their link churches. We had thought that there was going to be quite a significant delay in them leaving to go to Malta, but CMS have let them know they can actually go early next year. So, which has meant that their deputation period has been fast-tracked. So they're in a bit of a whirlwind. It's been a crazy year for them. But they have begun visiting their churches, and they will come and visit us in November, the first week of, which would be great. And basically that's what they were going to say in the video. Hello, we're going sooner than we thought, and we're really looking forward to visiting you at Terry Hills in the first week of November. We'll see how we go. If we can't get that volume, we'll give it a miss. Let me move along. So, guys, I'm going to get back to the PowerPoint, if I can. Look, maybe when I downloaded it, maybe it was downloaded without volume. I don't know. It might be an issue up there. It might be with the actual downloaded video. All right, the tone. If you have your Bible with you, if it's on your phone, it'd be great to look again at that final part of Colossians in Colossians chapter 4. Richard read it for us. Let me ask you the question. How would you describe the tone of that final part of Colossians as Paul writes? Serious?
Encouraging?
Thankful? Any other words to describe it? Firm? Yeah. There's work going on. Instructive? Yep. Well, here are my words. Warm. Personal. Familiar. Do you see that there? A lot of dear brother. He obviously knows people well, personally, intimately, his warm bond. The Apostle Paul shared a close relationship with those he served with and those he served, I think comes through. Sadly, in the age of the professionalisation of the ministry and the corporatisation of the church, it's not always the case these days. It can be very professional. So what can we learn about gospel partnership from these final verses? Often in sermon series, these kinds of final greetings are skipped. I know in the past I've certainly skipped final greetings and not looked at it in detail, but it's been interesting to look more closely. It's quite a long section here in Colossians, so let's see what we can take out of it. One, there is personal interest. That is, there is the sharing of news and people for the encouragement of hearts. So in verse 7, Paul writes, Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. So the sharing of news is essential in gospel partnership. It's important to know what is going on in each other's lives. So when we think of our gospel partners, if we think of the Galea family or the painters or the Fars in overseas mission, or if we think of the work of BCA, in particular the Hurleys and the Reeves. Is there another family that has a close connection? Remind me. Collins or Collings? I haven't met the Collings. So there's BCA in our connections. If we think of the Ministry of Compassion that we're closely connected with, and MAF, Samaritan's Purse, with Operation Christmas Child coming up, whom we support. So each of these mission and missionary partners provide us with news. They send us updates via the email and so on. True gospel partnership takes an active, personal interest. It keeps up with the latest. I must say that I am greatly encouraged by the active interest that St. Paul's takes in its link mission and ministry partners. A number of you are champions for particular ministries, and many of you take an active interest in particular ministries. That means that overall, as a church body, we do a good job, I think, of supporting our gospel partners, for which we give thanks to God and pray that we will continue to grow in. And I guess we have a fresh opportunity with the Galea family. They are our newly adopted CMS Link missionaries. Again, I've been greatly encouraged with how our support of them has started. And I know that they are very much encouraged by us too. And we do have an opportunity in the first week of November to deepen that new relationship with them as they prepare to go out on their first term of mission in Malta. On the topic of encouragement, the Apostle Paul says in verse 8, that I am sending Tychicus to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. So it's the sharing of news for the purpose of encouraging hearts. Paul wants Tychicus to inform the Colossians of his circumstances and by so doing, encourage their hearts. That doesn't mean Tychicus needs to tell the Colossians that everything is rosy for Paul. He can be honest and say that Paul and his fellow workers are still locked up in a Roman prison cell, but they are doing okay despite the terrible circumstances. To support our gospel partners well, we will need to know what is going on for them, even if it is hard, even if there are real challenges for them, even if they are disheartened in their work. But despite circumstances, there will always be good things to share because God is always at work, even in the tough times, through the work of his gospel. And this is true for all of us personally, isn't it? There's always, even things are hard, there's always something good that we can share to encourage the hearts of others. Again, in my experience here at St. Paul's and in previous churches, our link missionaries and ministries always do a good job of encouraging our hearts, you know, whether the circumstances are good or tough. In the busyness of life and the focus on the day-to-day and week-to-week, it's encouraging to take time to read the email from our gospel partners, to open that PDF and read the update, to hear what God is doing in Cambodia or Geraldton or wherever it may be, to refocus our minds on what God is doing in his world through his gospel. Certainly encourages my heart when I take the time to do that and listen. It encourages me then to give thanks to God. It encourages me to pray for the things that matter. It refocuses me in my own context. The second thing that we learn about gospel partnership is in verse 10 and following, that co-workers for the kingdom of God are to be welcomed. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. That's Barnabas, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. So, welcome Barnabas, Paul says to the Colossian church. Barnabas is a co-worker for the kingdom of God, and he is a Jewish believer, preacher, teacher, co-worker. The Colossians, who are predominantly Gentile, are to welcome him. In other words, we're to welcome gospel workers, whatever their ethnic or cultural backgrounds. We did that here the other month when we welcomed Teresa from Compassion, and we heard her wonderful story and the story of her father. That encouraged our hearts, didn't it? It was an encouraging morning together. Now to the Galeas again. In the first week of November, from November, Sunday, November 1, they'll be here, and throughout that week, we have an opportunity to welcome them, to welcome our newest CMS gospel partners. Yes, we've already welcomed them here once before, as I've said, but in that week of November 1 to 6, they will have their official deputation with us. What does that mean? They'll share with us here on the Sunday 1st of November. Chris will preach. They'll also share about what they're going to be doing when they arrive in Malta. On the Tuesday evening, we'll combine our growth groups. I hope this is okay with all our growth group leaders, but we'll combine our growth groups to spend the evening with them to go deeper in learning about what they'll be doing in Malta. Chris and Christy will also be available during the rest of that week. They'll come to visit Friday Night Youth and Wednesday KYB and new Friday Morning Mums Growth Group. They can visit the early Sunday morning young adult Bible study groups to encourage our young adults. In fact, when I met with them a couple of weeks back and we talked about the week here, they're particularly excited about spending some time with our young adults and our youth, all of us, but being able to also go to those particular groups to encourage our young people here. So I'll be in touch with all of our groups and ministry leaders regarding the details of these things, but the week will be an opportunity for to fulfill Paul's command to welcome co-workers for the kingdom. And the time spent forming and deepening our relationship with the Galeas at this early stage will be really important as they prepare to jet off to Malta for their first term. Welcome them. Point three, partnership involves prayer. Epaphras, who is one of you, so he's a Colossian believer, he's a local, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. I don't want to say too much about this point of partnership involves prayer because we dealt with it a couple of weeks ago in some detail when we looked at the first part of chapter 4, where we were encouraged to pray for gospel workers, gospel preachers. All I want to point out here is kind of what we already know, and that is that prayer is hard work. Prayer is hard work. Paul uses a word here that takes us into the gym, into the discipline of a wrestler who trains daily, working on cardio and strength, working on flexibility and tactical skill to become an elite wrestler. You don't become an elite wrestler overnight. It takes seriously hard work and commitment. The same is true of prayer warriors. We like to talk about prayer warriors. Those who are faithful and committed in praying for others, it takes hard work and discipline. I think we sometimes think you kind of just get zapped with this ability to be a prayer warrior. Hard work and discipline. It's not always easy to keep praying. In fact, it's not often easy. Epaphras, I think, is a great model to us. He is a servant of Christ Jesus who works hard for others by wrestling in prayer for them. This is something for us to aspire to wrestle in prayer for others, for our gospel workers, for our mission and ministry partners, for one another. Wrestling means not giving up. It means getting up and going again after you've been pinned to the floor for a while. After you've been defeated, you go again. Point four, hospitality. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, author of Luke's Gospel and Acts, traveling companion of the Apostle Paul, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas sends greetings. I should have said before that the Mark that is mentioned, cousin of Barnabas, obviously Mark, who's the author of Mark's Gospel. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. As you know, there were no church buildings in the first century. All churches were house churches. Nympha hosted a church in her house. It's not clear whether she hosted the Colossian church or the Laodicean church or one of the many churches that met in the towns or in those towns or somewhere in between. She's hosting a church. The point is, she was generous enough and hardworking enough and kind enough to host church in her home. That's pretty impressive, isn't it? Imagine hosting us every Sunday. That would have been a big job. All that cleaning, preparation, And it seemed that back in the first century, church generally involved a meal as well. It wasn't, you know, 1 hour, bit of a chat, and then off to whatever else. It was a lengthy gathering that she hosted in her home, including a meal. We are thankful to those here who do the hard work of hosting us in this building, in our church family home. It's obviously not house church, but it is where our church family gathers, and it requires work to be in order and for our services to run smoothly. Bit of activity out there. We are also grateful to those who show hospitality in their home, hosting groups, sharing meals, having catch-ups, and caring for others. Obviously, it's been harder to do that in recent times with COVID, but we do look forward to sharing meals together again and opening our homes and showing hospitality once again. Finally, the sharing of resources. Paul writes, after this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. It's an interesting verse, isn't it? There's a couple of things I find interesting about it. Firstly, people didn't have Bibles back then. They couldn't read the apostles' letters by themselves at home at any time. We're very privileged to be able to do this, to click on a button and read it. Even if we don't always avail ourselves of the privilege. They had to wait until they came together to hear the scriptures read. Perhaps there was also a greater rate of illiteracy back then. Perhaps the majority wouldn't have been able to read the scriptures for themselves anyhow, even if they had a copy. They would have to be reliant on the educated, the literate, to read the apostles' letters and explain it to them, to teach them. We are so very blessed to be able to read and learn. With a click of a button, we can hear great Bible teaching, we can read such helpful material, we can study at such wonderful depth if we wish to avail ourselves of the wonderful resources that are available to us in this age. Another interesting thing here I find is that there was a letter written to the Laodicean church. Notice that, one for the Colossians, one for the Laodiceans, but we don't have it, do we? There's no Laodiceans in our New Testament. It's not in our Bible. So perhaps there's another piece of scripture lying around yet to be discovered. What will we do if archaeologists discover the letter to the Laodiceans? Will it be added to the canon? Is the canon closed? You know, there's all sorts of questions. Anyway, it's only an interesting hypothetical. It hasn't been found. The principle we see in this verse is the sharing of resources between churches. I guess St. Paul's has experienced this more than most over the years with its relationship to Christ Church St. Ives. It's a different day now that we are a parish in our own right, or very close to being a full parish in our own right. But we don't want to be completely independent of everyone else, do we? Just because we are our own parish doesn't mean we want to become an independent parish with no relationship to others. We don't isolate ourselves. We are still in partnership with other Anglican churches through the diocese. Our wardens, parish council, and treasurer all benefit from the work of St. Andrew's House in town. I too benefit from our relationship to and within the diocese with conferences and training and resources and friendship and support. Also, on the topic of sharing resources, I want to share with you this morning that last Sunday for the Fuel for Father's Day appeal and our sharing of resources with MAF, I've got a slide here, the Mission Aviation Fellowship, we collected $698 last Sunday to share with our friends at MAF. And they are very encouraged. I gave Mike Swanton the heads up that the amount was coming. And he replied on the email saying this, I'll share it with you. Dear Scott, thanks so much for letting us know about your Father's Day response. We have been blown away by the generosity of our supporter churches and know that the money raised will have a great harvest in the lives of the people we serve. Best regards, Mike Swanton. The sharing of resources. A final challenge. So it's clear that partnership in the gospel, Christian fellowship, if you like, is extremely important. It's just too hard to go it alone, to be a solo man. We need, or woman, we need each other. And gospel workers particularly need the support of their fellow workers and congregations. We all need encouragement. Sometimes it is hard to keep going. There are discouragements, sometimes deep discouragements. Sometimes there is opposition, sometimes from unexpected sources. Sometimes there are difficult circumstances, things like COVID come along. There are personal trials and so on. There are all sorts of things that can get us down and tempt us to give up, to wave the white flag. Perhaps Archippus was tempted to give up, so the Apostle Paul had a word for his brother in the Lord, his co-worker in the kingdom. Verse 17. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. This really is a word for all of us. Don't give up. Or in the positive, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. We need one another. We need partners in the gospel. We need Christian fellowship to encourage our hearts. We need the prayers of each other. We need the sharing of news, the sharing of life, the hospitality, the personal concern, and encouragement. Sometimes we need someone to say to us, don't give up. See to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Grace be with you.